Fred Film Radio, il cinema ritrovato, Bologna, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, and I'm here with David Bordwell, who is talking to us today about a very interesting book, 75,000 Films. So would you like to maybe tell our listeners a little bit about it, first of all?
Yeah, it began as an anniversary volume for the Belgian Film Archive, the Royal Film Archive there, which calls itself the Cinémathèque, ending in EK. It started in 1938. And there was an idea of having the book available by the end of 2013. But it's not a usual anniversary book, which consists of an official history of an organization, plus, various kinds of praise for all the people who've worked there. It's a more interesting and original kind of approach, where the director of the archive asked three writers in three languages to write their reflections about film archives and their relationship to them, and then three photographers who documented the interior of the archive, what goes on behind the scenes, and those photographers were given completely free rein. They could photograph anything. So the result is a very unusual book about film archives, because the pictures take you behind the scenes. The essays are sort of speculative, sort of historical, but also just thoughtful about what the role of archives is in modern culture and contemporary society. And so the book becomes a kind of hymn, I suppose, to archives in general, rather than just a testimony to the excellence of the Belgian archive.
Oh, yeah, I think it's extremely interesting that there's three different voices and also the different photographers as well. It's just amazing, because you get like different perspectives as well. From your point of perspective, I'd just like to know, what is the role of all the activities of the Cinémathèque in modern society?
Certainly for a public, it's a place to see films that you can't see anywhere else. The archives have been collecting films for decades. They're preserving and conserving films, restoring some films to their original condition. And those are things that are typically not available, of course, in commercial theaters, which are only current films, but also even on DVD or on television, where often those classics or important films are shown in poorer quality versions. Also, of course, many films aren't classics, but they're worth seeing, and so the archive has a responsibility to show to its immediate public, people who come to the screenings, things that they wouldn't see anywhere else because they didn't know about them, and maybe nobody else knows about them. So there's the role of the archive for its audience. Of course, archives have roles for education as well. Most archives have educational programs that go into schools or invite students in as groups to see films. But archives also, because they preserve film, are the record of film history. They are museums. And those of us who study film history and want to look at films that are not just the things that you can get on DVD or see in commercial cinemas, but films that maybe are of historical importance but are difficult to find, need film archives for our research. Similarly, the archives benefit from our research, because when we study the films, write about the films in their collections, people become more aware of the richness of those collections.
Yeah.
So there's a way in which there's a kind of reciprocal interchange, a kind of continuing conversation between archivists and researchers.
So tell me now, David, because we talked about the three different writers, what does your piece focus on?
Well, mine is pretty personal, because I come into the archive world as an outsider. I research the history of film form and style, and it's the study of film as an art form. And so I come into archives to look at the copies of the films they have that answer specific questions that I brought to the table. So I see it from the researcher's perspective. And what I try to do in my essay is sketch kind of intertwine two things: my own personal experiences with archives since the early 70s, and thoughts about the history of film archives and how they've responded to the changing conditions of film scholarship. Film writing, film history, was not always an academic thing. It was often done by very engaged cinephiles, amateurs in some sense, but very professional in their thoughts, and they wrote a certain kind of history, a certain kind of way. Archives have enabled us to write a more rich, I think, and refined and nuanced history than we would have had if we just relied on what had been done in the earlier or decades. So there's a way in which what I try to do and what a lot of my colleagues try to do is to fill in the cracks, offer new ideas, point people to new films. And the only way we can do this is by cooperation with archives.
So you mentioned the different changes that took place in archiving. What were the main changes? Not all the changes. We obviously do not have time to talk about that. But the major changes that took place in film archiving.
Well, film archives mostly came out of film clubs. Back in the 1920s, people were starting to realize that, particularly when sound movies came in, that silent films weren't going to be around forever. And so people started forming film clubs to show revivals and new prints of old and classic films. But then by the 30s, people in various countries began to realize that they should preserve the films from the very beginning of cinema because it was an important historical record. And most nations began to think seriously about preserving whatever films they could find. But that was done, again, mostly by people who were amateurs, people who were creators of film clubs and cine clubs and things like that. Professional film archiving really gets going after World War II when an organization called FIAF, the International Federation of Film Archives, gets created so that archives can know what each other's archives have. They should share and information and data about films because films circulate many versions, and trying to find complete or original versions is part of the archives' task. And then it becomes more and more a matter of finding ways to save the films from physical deterioration. Films were shot on nitrate before 1947 or so, and that film stock is, while very beautiful and probably still the gold standard for quality, is very flammable. It's explosive, in fact. And so the problem became early in the 60s for film archives, how do we save the films but try to get rid of this combustible danger that's sitting in our vaults? So there was one wave was to consider how to make good copies of the films that were on so-called safety stock that was not inflammable. So that was one phase. Another phase in the history of archives is the beginning of the realization that with home video, a lot of films are going to become available. And those films that were often requested by film archives, people wanted to see a Marilyn Monroe movie, a James Dean movie, or whatever, could now see those on home video. So there's a sense in which archives began to redefine their mission and think more, less about maybe showing the classics, or at least making the classics accessible, which can be accessible in other media, and going for more obscure films, rarer films. An extreme case of this would be the so-called orphan film movement, where people began to realize, here are films that no one feels that they have to preserve. Films made by amateurs, home movies, films made by local governments, films that don't really have a home. And some archives have set out to say, okay, we'll give them a home because they're part of history and they often record things of great value.
See, already from you, just summing all this up briefly, not only am I noticing things that I didn't know before, and it's going to make the book so interesting, but film is such a fragile kind of art form, isn't it? Film is so fragile.
Like, it is fragile.
Do you think that like digital now is the key, or is that going to end up being like fragile? What's the solution?
Film is fragile in one way and not in another way. Film is very robust if it's properly stored. Essentially, it's said that if you keep a film under proper conditions, it'll last at least 100 years. And the problem with digital is, of course, the fact that the programs, the software change, and the hardware changes. There are dozens and dozens of digital formats, and we can expect more in the future. And the problem is that if a film is made or preserved or conserved on one format, what do you do with it? Because you have to be able to read it. Well, does that mean that you have to keep copies of all the software of all types of digital production, and at the same time also all the machines necessary to run that software, and backup copies of the machines, the cannibalized parts when those machines are no longer manufactured? Or do you migrate the digital content from platform to platform? Let's say it was shot at a certain time in the 70s or 80s, and now we have to put it in an upgraded format, different platforms. So the question becomes, but that takes money and time and requires a lot of care and attention. So in a way, the film solution is the simplest, because not only is the quality there, it's also put it on the shelf and essentially leave it, you know, until you need it. But with digital, it's very convenient in the short term, but rather inconvenient in the long term.
And that, to me, goes to show that it's vital work of the Cinematheque's done, not only the Belgian Cinematheque, which happens to be 75 years old, which is pretty impressive, but Cinematheques around the world, so we need to keep them going.
Absolutely.
So thanks very much for talking with us today about it, and a very interesting subject.
Thanks very
much for explaining.
Thank you. Yep.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.